This is Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright, and this is the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. My name is Rebecca George. I'm your host, and I am just delighted today to be joined by Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright. Rachel Ruth is the daughter of Bible teacher Anne Graham Lotz and the granddaughter of Billy Graham. She is on today to talk about the book that she co-authored with her mother Anne called Preparing to Meet Jesus, a 21-day challenge to move from salvation to transformation. It was such a deep honor to me to get to sit down and chat with her about her legacy, about this new book. You are going to leave so encouraged. And so make sure that you go grab a copy of Preparing to Meet Jesus and join us for this special conversation with our new friend, Rachel Ruth. Rachel Ruth, welcome to the show. I'm just so honored to get to sit down and talk with you about this new book. I just couldn't be more excited that you're here. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
This is going to be fun. I am so excited about the new book that you co-authored with your mom, Anne Graham Lotz, that's titled Preparing to Meet Jesus. And I know for my friends listening, they're going to have a really obvious, like, first question on their minds. As we think about both of you and just the beautiful ministry that God has given you. And I can't help but start in the logical place of just asking about your amazing legacy of being daughter to Anne and granddaughter to Billy Graham. I just wonder, this is probably a very loaded, unfair question, but how have their lives and their faith marked yours? Will you just start by sharing a little bit of that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I don't know what it would be like to be in any other family, because this is the one God put me in. And it's just
that's right.
His grace that he placed me in. And I have no idea why, but I'm very, very humbled that God would put me in this family. And you know, I absolutely love my grandparents. Actually, both sets of my grandparents love the Lord and my parents. And to see them love the Lord, they were confident in the Lord. They weren't ashamed to talk about the Lord. Even my dad's dad used to, he's in heaven now, but used to preach on the street corners of New York City. I mean, he was in the Bronx. He had a church in the Bronx. And
wow.
And then seeing my grandfather, you know, we called him Daddy Bill, and my grandmother, just their love for the Lord and what you saw on, you know, at the Crusades or on TV, he was the same in the house and very humble, always felt like, sincerely, always felt like he hadn't done enough for the Lord. And just whenever we were with him, he always wanted to ask how we were doing. And I would tell him about Bible study or whatever. And he was like, well, let's stop and pray right now. And he would pray. And, and my grandmother, we called Tete, she always described herself, because she had so many health issues in that later part of her life. And she was like, I'm like a mouse on a glue board. And she was like, I'm just, so you tell me what to pray for and I'll pray. Yeah. And so they were both prayer warriors. They loved God's word. And they had scripture blown up in big block letters on posters all throughout their house because their eyesight was going. Wow. And so wherever they would go in the house, they could see God's word on the walls and read it. And so it was important to them. And every night when we would have devotions, if we were with my grandparents, they, you know, Daddy Bill would open up the Bible and we would discuss a passage and talk about it. And then my parents love the Lord. And obviously y'all know my mom, but my dad too. And he was just a man's man and loved the Lord and was a leader of men and had several Bible studies here in our hometown in Raleigh. And they both lived it at home. So it wasn't that they said something out there and then came home and lived a different way. And there was no alcohol in our home. There was no foul language. There was no nothing like that. It was just truly a home that sought to live for the Lord. And so by God's grace, I kind of took that. It's like my first book. I kind of took that baton from them. Just I love the Lord.
Wow.
Because I saw them with their Bibles open early in the morning, late at night, and I knew it was important to them, then, you know, my faith became my own. And it was really in high school. I mean, I loved the Lord all growing up and came to Christ when I was a little girl, gave my heart to Jesus, but just through not having a lot of friends in high school and difficulties like that, where the Lord Jesus became my best friend. And then it's just been a walk with him ever since. But yeah. I know that, you know, I had that foundation, and I know a lot of people don't have that.
That's beautiful. Sure.
But
that's right. Well,
you know, that God can still help you and walk you through. So
that's right. That's exactly right. And that is a perfect lead in to the message of this book that we get to talk about today. And I'm so excited to unpack it with you. I would love to hear, I mean, there are obvious things that come to my mind, but why did you feel, both of you, that this was the time for this message, right? Of preparing to meet Jesus, and tell us how God put that on your hearts.
Well, a couple things. I mean, you can just look at the headlines and know it's,
that's right.
I mean, the world is melting down, and because we're at the end of it. And but yeah. I was teaching the book of Genesis to my Bible study, and had taught Genesis 24, which is the whole story of Rebecca and Isaac. And then I had to, someone asked me to come speak at their bridal shower, a dear friend of mine. And so I was like, I'm going to go through just Rebecca in that chapter and look at some characteristics of her. And then, you know, God put this idea in my mind of, maybe doing a book on it. And then I had, two just rare, awful heart attacks a year and a half ago, and called spontaneous coronary artery dissection. Actually happens in women in their 30s and 40s. And no heart problems. That you know, the women usually don't have any heart problems, but from like a high stress event or exercise, and I had a bad stress test, a really bad stress test that caused it. But anyhow, during that recovery, I wrote this book because I could have seen Jesus immediately, because there is no explanation that I survived those, except that Jesus saved my life. I was literally almost gone, and he brought me back to life. And so, so any moment we can be face to face with Jesus because of a car accident or heart attacks or cancer or whatever it might be, or his return, the rapture, which I think very close. And so it was a burning desire for me to write this book, and my mom, and because we know time is short and the church needs to be prepared, you know, as a bride. So,
yeah, that's right. I pulled a quote from the book, and you both say, our world seems to be experiencing repeated alarms, indicating that at any moment, the midnight cry may sound and Jesus will return. Roars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, signs in the heavens, all are getting our attention. At any moment, the bridegroom is going to arrive. And when he comes, he will come suddenly, quickly, with no further advance notice. And I wonder, like, what stirs up in you when I read those words again? And as you've written about this topic, I wonder, is there something that you've discovered or you've became even more passionate about? I could hear it in your voice as you were introducing the message, but is there something that maybe surprised you or that you discovered along the way?
I think, I feel like the more and more I talk about it, and as I read scripture, and as you see things happening in our headlines every day, some record-breaking thing or some natural disaster or shooting or crazy laws put in place, all these things happening all over the world, you know, even if you didn't know the Lord, you knew something was up. Something's happening to, you know, there's such a stir of evil around the world. And it's because the demons have been unleashed, and the enemy knows his time is short. And so if you read Matthew 24, you know that Jesus is getting ready to come back. And so there is a burning desire in my heart to tell believers that he's coming, and we want to prepare our hearts and make sure, you know, you may have been going to church and, you know, in Sunday school, all this stuff, and been a really good person. And maybe you even think you have given your heart to Jesus, but you don't remember a time when you actually stopped and confessed your sins and told Jesus you were sorry, and you placed your faith in him and asked him to come live inside of you, and knowing that he died on the cross to take away your sins. There has to be a point in your life where you've done that. It's not just, oh, I had this great experience and I just love church and wow, that was a great message. And There has to be a point when you confess with your mouth, when you tell Jesus, not your friends or whoever, you tell Jesus, I'm sorry, and I want you to come live inside of me. And so when, if you've done that, then that Holy Spirit lives inside of you, then we're the bride. We're the ones that want to be ready to meet him. And so, yes, I am so passionate in wanting to get this message out that, that he is coming. And whether in our death or in this, the rapture that I think is close, and we've got to be ready.
The Rebecca Reeds book for October is Numbering Our Days, Combating Anxiety and the Power of Small Intentional Moments by Nicole Suvar. We know our time on earth is limited, and we want our days to matter for God's kingdom. But how do we break free from the spiral of anxiety and stay focused on God's purposes for us? With short daily devotions and practical wisdom, Numbering Our Days will help you turn from anxiety toward a life that brings Him glory and points others to Him. Get your copy of Numbering Our Days on Amazon or at the link in the show notes today. Radical Radiance is brought to you this month by Blue Planet Optics. They are on a mission to change the way you see the world, quite literally. The best part, every time you purchase a box of contact lenses from them, you're helping to give the gift of sight to someone in need. Also, they are serious about reducing waste. Their new take-back program is coming out later this year where you can return your used contact lens waste for amazing discounts and store credit. Visit Blue Planet Optics at blueplanetoptics.co to shop today. Got to be ready. Mm-hmm. Well, you touched on it a little bit earlier, but you used the story in Genesis where Abraham seeks a woman of character to marry his son Isaac as a way to explore the characteristics God the Father looks for in a bride for his son Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so for listeners who might be newer to their Bibles, maybe unfamiliar with this story, would you walk us through a little bit more of the context there and how it's a beautiful picture that can help us prepare to meet Jesus?
Yeah, absolutely. It really is amazing because, you know, if you read God's word and just kind of read over it surfacey, it's still a blessing. But when you dig deeper and as you study it and think about it, there's so many treasures. And so I feel like this book hopefully is pulling out those treasures in this chapter, because Genesis 24, what happens, it starts off with Abraham and he calls his servant in and he says, I need you to go find a bride for my son Isaac. And he said, and I don't want you to go to the Canaanites, you know, these wicked women that are all around us. I need you to go back to my family. And I want you to go back to my family and find a bride for Isaac. And so that was 450 miles away. And so his servant was like, okay, well, I can do that. But what happens if she doesn't want to come? What if she doesn't want to come back with me? Mm-hmm. And he said, then you don't make her, you just come back. And, oh, I mean, the parallels there of God the Father sending the Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son, Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit, it's open to the whole world. That offer is open to every single one of us in the entire world. It doesn't matter where you live, who you are, what your background is. Jesus is offering you that opportunity to come and be his bride, to be a member of his family, to go to heaven one day, to have your sins forgiven. But it's our choice. So he chooses you. He wants you. But then we have to choose ourselves. And Rebecca had to make that decision for herself when she was offered it. We believe you are the one. God has shown us that you're the one, you know, that needs to be the bride for Isaac. And then she had to say, okay, I'll go. And then she committed to being his bride. I mean, what a picture. But so then throughout the whole chapter, then I just break down watching Rebecca and the characteristics I see in her of just that faithful day-to-day or kindness, humility. She was submissive. All these different things. And I pull that out as what we need to do to prepare to meet Jesus.
Yeah, so. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the book walks us through 21 different ways that we can prepare to meet Jesus, these daily reflections, challenges, and prayers along the way that reveal more and more about how we can pursue a life fully devoted to Jesus. And so I wonder, as you wrote each of the 21, was there one that particularly impacted you as you were writing that comes to mind?
Well, honestly, throughout the book, I felt like the Lord kept convicting me of things. And even if we do each of these things, and we try to do these things, you can still find ways and areas in your life where I'm not doing that great. And one of them was
sure.
Faithful in the day-to-day, where just in the everyday ho-hum. And I know Rebecca, she didn't even know the servant was watching when he was at the well. And he was just looking at all these women and like, Lord, show me which one. And what he prayed was, Lord, when I asked for water from one of the girls, let her say, here, you can have some water. And in fact, I'll water all your camels too. But as he sat there and watched all these women, he saw Rebecca because she was beautiful and caught his attention. And she went to get water and she was doing what she was supposed to do and never knew that this man was watching her looking for a wife or like a prince. I mean, you know, Isaac was basically a prince and from this wealthy home and Abraham who God had blessed, and she would have no idea she was being watched. And when I'm in my house doing my chores that I don't like to do, you know, who wants to clean a bathroom and all the dishes, I
gotta
do the dishes, all this stuff. but this would urge you that even in the everyday, that we need to do it with all of our hearts, that it's actually serving the Lord and God is watching. He sees how we don't cut corners in the house or we don't put off the things that we need to be doing. And so I feel like that was one that I can work on every day. So
yeah, I agree. I think we discount those mundane everyday moments. Even, you know, the other day I was convicted at the grocery store. People have heard me use this example before, but even just those moments when you're checking out your groceries and the person that's scanning your bananas seems a little discouraged. Like those are all moments that God puts before us every day that we have an opportunity to encourage and share the gospel and have our hands open to however he wants to use us. And I think sometimes we like to focus on the big and the flashy and not the mundane and the everyday. And I'm so often convicted on that as well. Yeah. So I think that's such an important one to consider. Yeah. I wonder what it has been like. Now, the book Jesus Followers, prior to this, you also co-wrote with Anne.
Yes.
So what's it been like co-authoring with your mom? Tell me about that process for you guys.
I mean, it's been great. So what we've done with both of these books is she does the introduction and then the conclusion and then I kind of write the meat of the book. And then in this particular book, she writes the prayer at the end and the little challenge. And so you know, I'll write it and then, you know, each chapter I'll send it to her. She kind of looks over it and then we'll talk about it. And so, I mean, it works great. We really work well together. Yeah. And so it's been such a joy. In fact, we're even talking about working on another one. So,
awesome.
I just enjoy working with her. And, I feel like it's Paul, kind of a Paul and Timothy thing where,
that's beautiful.
Every day I talk to her, we discuss what we've done in our devotions, and she just has invested in me and discipled me. I mean, my whole life, but it's been really sweet as an adult she just has so much wisdom and just gleaning from her. It's been neat. So,
And that's a beautiful way that I think the Lord is paving the way for your legacy as well. And just so beautiful to do that work together, right? And not only, you know, are you all seeing that discipleship happen within your own families, but we get to see the fruit of that, right? Which is a beautiful gift to the church, I think, right? And I mean, I can even think back, my husband still talks about the time when he sat under Anne's teaching about how to study the Bible. Yeah. He still talks about how that was so foundational for him at the start of his ministry career. He's about 13, 14 years into pastoring and just the profound impact that has on him. And then years later to get to see the fruit of you all writing together is just really sweet. So I love that y'all have had that experience together.
I know. And I love, my mom taught me how to study the Bible using that 3-question method when I was in 8th grade. And I've been doing it ever since. It's what I do in my Bible study. And that's what I did going through this chapter. And that's where the book came from, was her method of Bible study, which I love. So,
yeah, I love that. What are for people who've not gone through that before, what are those 3 questions as they're reading scripture? Do you care to share those?
To. So it's what does it say? What does it mean? And what does it mean to me? I mean, just basic. And so you go verse by verse, and what does it say means you just list the facts. You're just listing the main facts out of the scripture, out of each verse, and you don't paraphrase. Like, don't put your own words in it. You're just kind of taking out, you know, everything except the main facts. And then what does it mean? You take those facts and you pull a lesson out of it. Like, what is it that you see that they're doing, you should be doing? Is there something you shouldn't be doing that they're doing? And, you know, warning or anything like that. And you draw, you get a lesson out of each of those facts. And then the last, what does it mean to me? You take the lesson and you put it in the form of a question that you ask yourself. So, so I always think about just a simple little verse, Jesus wept. So that's the fact, Jesus wept. And the lesson is he feels emotion. You know, he knows what we're, when we're going through something, it hurts him too. And so the question can be, when do I doubt that he doesn't understand what I'm going through, you know, or why do I doubt he doesn't understand what I'm going through? Because he does. And just different questions you can pull out, and it just makes it come alive. And it's so personal, it's devotional. And I love it. So, and all you need is your Bible and a pen and a piece of paper. So, and I always pray before I study the Bible, you know, just asking this Holy Spirit to just to speak to me. So,
beautiful. I love that. Well, in addition to co-authoring with your mom, you also are on the board of directors for Angel Ministries. And I would love for you to share about what are you seeing God do in that ministry. Tell us a little bit more about your work with Angel Ministries.
Well, I am on the board, and it just kind of oversees Angel Ministries and different things that just to keep the office running and everything like that. But one thing that I do is teach this online Bible study. And one thing I always loved about my mom is when she speaks, she doesn't charge anything, you know, to go speak somewhere. When she did her Just Give Me Jesus revival, she didn't charge for tickets. And when I teach this online Bible study, there's no cost for it. So we've got over 13,000 that are doing it now. And because we just want God's word out there. And so so it's been neat to see this, you know, small office and all these wonderful people that work here, and they all have a heart for God's word and a heart to get God's word out. And so that would be the heart of Angel Ministries, is just, we love the Lord and we want God's word, given out. We want people to come to Christ, and then we want them to grow. And so everything we do would be geared toward that. And there's no fundraising or anything like that either. So it's just by God putting on people's hearts to send money, and we, you know, we get by. God takes care of us, and so it's really sweet because it's just a faith walk, and so it's been wonderful to be involved with my mom and be a part of this. So.
That's beautiful. I love that so much. Well, there is a question that I ask every guest that comes on the show, Radical Radiance, and the podcast really has a heart to help women see what it looks like. How do we radiate the heart of Jesus in our life, our work, our relationships? And the verse God really used to give me the name of the podcast was kind of buried in Psalm 34. It's verse 5, and it says, "Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered in shame." And so, particularly after the conversation we've just had, I'm so excited to ask you this question, Rachel Ruth, in this season of your life, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Well, I think if there's anything radiant about me, it is Jesus. So, because he is everything good and wonderful. So when I study my Bible in the mornings, when I have my devotions, when I get up and I pray and talk to him and I read my Bible and spend time with him, then my hope and prayer is that people can see the difference. And when I haven't done that, I feel discouraged. And you can probably see it on my face, you know, if I'm down or I'm scared or whatever. And but when I keep my face on Jesus, when I'm looking at Jesus and not my heart pain or my difficulties or whatever it is, then my face would show that radiance, or my life, my actions, the things that I'm doing in the home or in front of people. Hopefully it's because I've kept my eyes on Jesus. And I think it's important for all of us when we see things that are just disastrous, especially in America, but all over the world. We know it because we look at what's happening in the news here, but the things that are happening. You just can't believe it. Where right is wrong and wrong is right now. And there's so many things to terrify us, to make us mad, to want us to hide in our homes, you know, to just be ticked off like everybody else in the world. But we have something different. We have the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. So when we spend time that's with Jesus, right. when we put our focus on Jesus, that even though the world is melting down, but I know who sits on the throne, who's in charge and that's who's right. coming back, then nothing should rattle us. We should keep that radiant face, that radiant act, our actions, our heart, everything, that there's no trial too horrible that he can't take care of. And I'm a living testimony of that. I mean, laying on the gurney, dying, and God brought me back. But while I was, I had total peace, because the Holy Spirit was inside of me. So even in tragic moments, he is with you and can radiate through you. So
I love that. Well, Rachel Ruth, I would love for you to share with listeners as they're closing out this conversation, where can they connect with both of you? Where can they grab the book, connect with Angel Ministries, all of those things, as I know they're going to want to hear more.
Yeah, sure. So you can get the book anywhere, Amazon or bookstores, or you can get it on our website. It's anngrahamlotz.org. And so you'll be able to, you know, buy it there. You can get on my Bible study on anngrahamlotz.org. It's under Rachel's Bible study, but that's how you can get in touch with us. So, but we, you know, love to have you contact us or get the book. I hope it'll be a blessing and something that will be life-changing.
Absolutely. Well, it has been such a deep honor to get to sit down with you and get to know you and hear more about preparing to meet Jesus. And I know this book is going to be such an encouragement to listeners. And I personally can't wait for that next book that's bubbling up in both of you ladies that we'll get to hear about hopefully one day. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Rachel Ruth all about preparing to meet Jesus. Go grab a copy of the book wherever you like to buy your books. And hey, if you were particularly encouraged by this conversation and someone came to mind as you were listening to this episode, will you share it with them? Will you just click copy link on this episode and share it in a text message to them? And then you can go grab coffee and have a conversation about it. And if you're not already subscribed to my email list, each week when we drop our new episode, we also give you discussion questions inside that email so that when you do share these episodes with a friend, a family member, your small group, you have some questions to come back to and discuss as you listen. So go sign up for that today at radicalradiance.live, and I'll see you next episode for another amazing conversation.